Merry Christmas.
Merry
Christmas. That was good. That was nice. This season is celebrated all around the world. Some different cultures celebrate it different than us in here in the United States. But for us, it's kind of awe-consuming. The whole month is about Christmas, isn't it? Once we finish Thanksgiving, we start putting up the lights and start shopping and start celebrating this time we call Christmas. But I would say this morning that we want to focus in on less about the season and more about how we respond to Jesus. Because that's really what this is all about, is we have to respond to Jesus. It's not a question. You have to. It requires a response. And so we're going to take a look today at how the story and those folks in the story responded to Jesus. I was walking out in my neighborhood the other day. It was actually not day, it was in the night. And sometimes I take a stroll in the night, and I ran into a neighbor kind of in our neighborhood, and he's a guy that I've known for quite a long time, but have gotten reacquainted in the past couple years by moving into the neighborhood. And he's not a Christian, but yet we talk about spiritual things together. And so he invited me to come over on his back porch, and you know, it's about 10 o'clock at night, and we just start talking, and he's like, we were talking about life stuff, and then finally he says, you know, it's strange. It's almost as if something, somewhere, planted us here on this planet. And he kept talking, and he said, you know, we're different than all the other things in this world. And then he started talking about vulnerability too. He's like, you know, we're more vulnerable. He points to his dog and he says, you know, they've got fur and they can kind of handle the cold elements, but we've got to put jackets on, and you know, we're just so vulnerable in this world. But yet it almost is like something somewhere, something more powerful, bigger than us, planted us here. And I just mentioned kind of casually, have you ever read Genesis 1 and 2? No. What does it say? And so we started talking about how God, and it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and together they said, let us make man in our image, and we'll plant them on this place that we've created for them. And it's like it's a part of this grand community. God is already in relationship, has relationship, and creates us to be a part of that relationship. And then we kind of traveled through talking about the vulnerability thing, and it's like, yeah, there's something wrong too. This isn't the world that God planted us in. This is the broken version of that. And Genesis 3 happened, and sin fractured our relationship, our perfect relationship with God the Father, and everything kind of went awry, and it caused us to be so vulnerable, so weak. And in the past month, we've kind of come to realize that. We've lost loved ones that were taken from this life like that. We're here, and they're gone, like a vapor. And so life is fragile. And so everything he was saying, I'm like, yeah. And this is why it's so great that we celebrate Christmas. And he's like, oh, Christmas, I hate Christmas. It's all, you know, materialized, and you have to buy all these gifts. And we kept talking, and it was like, but it's about Jesus. So how do you respond to Jesus is really what this season's all about. And Jesus, who was there in the beginning, who created the heavens and the earth, who created us, who dropped us on this planet, has come to rescue us and make things right. He came to be with us. And so as I talked to my friend, it helped me discover what's most important this Christmas. How am I going to respond to Jesus, this rescuer, this savior? And last week we talked about how he came in vulnerability. He came in an approachable way as a child. He played by all the harsh rules that we have to play by. And it was important that he was fully man, but it was also important that he was fully God, that he brought with him the power of salvation, the power to set the world right, the power to rescue us. And so this Christmas and the Christmas story, how will you respond to Jesus? As we study the story in the past, 13 weeks, it's almost like this freight train is coming through history, pointing to us to Jesus. We see it in every story, how it's pointing us to this rescue that's coming. And then all of a sudden, there's 400 years of silence. So everybody that comes that's a part of God's story is telling about the Messiah and the coming of this Savior. And then 400 years of silence. Just put it in context. 400 years of silence would be 1614. 400 years ago, 1614. That's just like 100 years after Columbus sailed the ocean blue, right? That's a long time ago. So 400 years of just silence. God not speaking, God not showing himself, and all of a sudden, boom, there he is. God is speaking into the silence with Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest in the time of Herod the Great. Zechariah was in doing his priestly duties, and Gabriel comes and visits him. Now, as you all know, the angels of the Bible are very cute. That's why we put it on our Christmas cards and all the cards. Very cute. We have precious moment angels on our trees. Anybody have a precious moment angel? I'm the only one? No, there's a couple. Come on, precious angel. Come on. Is that what they're called? Precious? Yes. No, they are not precious little angels. Everybody that saw an angel in the Bible was terrified, filled with fear. This was not something precious. It was something great, almost more than you can handle, something that would make you fall on your face. And so Zechariah, filled with fear, sees this angel, Gabriel, and Gabriel says, "You're going to have a son." Well, Zechariah is old, and so is his wife. "You're going to have a son." This is the first thing that happens in 400 years. An angel speaks and says, "You're going to have a son." Elizabeth, to give birth. "And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." As we celebrate Advent, the whole month of December, we're preparing our hearts for the coming of the Lord again. But this is why John the Baptist came to the earth, to give us a time to prepare for the Messiah. So 400 years of silence. Zechariah hears from an angel, Gabriel. And this is what he says. "How can I be sure?" How can I be sure? There is also a PowerPoint that goes with this. And if you put that up, "How can I be sure?" Is this the... Skip the PowerPoint. I think I gave you last week's PowerPoint. You guys can just imagine it in your head. "How can I be sure?" Now, this is also another way to say "how can I be sure" is, can you give me a little bit more of a sign here? An angel of the Lord comes before you. Like, what more could you want? God himself coming before you, a slap across the face. So Zechariah says this, and Gabriel says, and you can imagine this, it feels a little bit like a scolding. He says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent here to speak to you and tell you this good news. And he says, for really not buying this, you lose your voice until John comes. Let's give you a little bit of time in this season to think about. Think about what's happening. Think about how you're going to respond. Because this first response isn't very good. I don't know about you, but oftentimes my wife will say something, and I'll say something in response, and I'll be like, oops, that wasn't the right response. And then she'll tell me what the right response is, and I'll say, can I retry that? You can sense a little bit of that in Zechariah. It's like, oops, that was not the right response. Can I retry that? Well, you've got several months of silence to think about what you just said. So we know that the baby comes, and Elizabeth has this child in her old age, and they're on the eighth day. The eighth day is when they would mark this baby, and then they would give it the name. And they ask Zechariah, well, first they say, we're going to name it Zechariah after Zechariah. And they say, Elizabeth says, no, we're naming it John. And so she responds with what's been spoken to Zechariah. Elizabeth does. And Zechariah responds by writing on the tablet, because he can't speak. So he writes on this tablet or wherever it is, and he says, John. His name is John. And at that moment, immediately, his mouth is open and his tongue is set free, and he began to speak, praising God. That's how Zechariah really responds, praising God with all that he is. And it says that people everywhere were talking about this because for the first time they heard that God has spoken out of 400 years. That the Messiah is coming. Prepare the way for him. To give his people the knowledge of salvation. This is what John the Baptist came for. You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins because of the tender mercy of our God, which by the rising of the sun will come to us from heaven, and to shine on those living in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide the feet in the path of peace. That's a significant statement. This is the song of Zechariah. The rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness. Different time, same angel. On a different day, Gabriel visits Mary. And this is before John the Baptist was born here. And this is what Gabriel says to Mary. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Guess what her response was? Anyone? She was afraid! Just like everybody else in the Bible. She was afraid. She was terrified by what this meant. And he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. And he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. Now, Mary asks a question. It sounds pretty similar to Zechariah's question, but there's a different response altogether. Here's what Mary's response was. How will this be? Now notice this is different than Zechariah, because Zechariah says, how do I know that this is the sign? I mean, how do I know this will happen? Mary's asking, how will this happen? Not, will this happen? See the difference? She says, how will this happen? And Gabriel responds. She says, how will this happen since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power, the divinity, the power that created the whole universe will overshadow you. And so the Holy One will be born and called the Son of God. Last week we talked about Caesar Augustus. He was called the Son of God because Julius Caesar was thought to be God. He was divinity. And his son, Caesar Augustus, was called the Son of God. And the Savior was, and his kingdom was Rome. And through Rome, they were going to save the world. But this comes through a humble servant to be called the Son of God. The power of God is in this. And for no word of God will ever fail. Ever fail. Now listen to Mary's response. She responds with this. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. A humble, accepting heart, knowing that this was no easy task to carry this Messiah. She responds with an acceptance of it. May your word to me be fulfilled. I am the Lord's servant. And the angel left her. So this season, as you respond to Jesus, how will you respond? Like Zechariah? Who questions it? Like Mary, who receives it and wants to know more? Or how about Joseph? Joseph does a pretty good job of responding. He doesn't have a whole lot of words. He's not really quoted all that much in the Bible. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But then an angel of the Lord comes and visits him in a dream. Again, do not be afraid, is what the angel says to him. Take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save people. Because he will save people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so Joseph woke up, and what did he do? He did exactly what the angel told him. And he took Mary home as wife. He did not consummate their marriage until the birth of the son, and he gave him the name Jesus. On the eighth day, notice how our calendar is set up. Our calendar system can't ignore the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. Everything about our calendar has been built around the life of Jesus. December 25th, counting that day, 8 days forward, brings us to January 1st. First day of the year. First day of the year is when Jesus was named Jesus. When Jesus was spoken, this boy will be named Jesus. Our whole calendar system is dedicated to celebrating the Messiah. You can't ignore it. You have to respond in some way. So Mary and Joseph went to the town of David to register for the census. And they had the baby, wrapped him in clothes, and placed him in a manger because there was no room. There was no guest room available for them. They gave birth to a son. And at this point, so we have this whole train of pointing to the Messiah, 400 years of silence, and then we start to see a trickle. And then when Jesus is born, all heaven cuts loose. It's like an open window. The curtain is pulled back, and heaven burst forth on the earth through this child, Jesus. So what will you do with that? All heaven burst forth through this child named Jesus. We first see it in the shepherds, visited by an angel. And what were they? Oh, we're going to have to work on this. They were afraid! An angel comes and he says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that causes great joy for all people. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And he is the Messiah, the Lord. And he will be assigned to you. You will find him in a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." And again, we go back to last week. The reason why he came as a baby is because angels, for some reason, they were really scary. And people got scared around them. And so God coming as a baby was approachable, was something that they could get their heads and minds around. He was one of them now. And they could get it. And the shepherds, how did they respond? They went running to find him and worship him. They went running. They said, "Let's go find this boy in Bethlehem." So the shepherds respond to this. How do we respond? Do we go running towards him to worship him? As we head into Christmas, are we running into this and seeking how we can worship him? The angels are busting out of heaven and breaking through. And it says a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God on the highest, on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." Glory to God on the highest. The Messiah is born. What has been planned since Genesis 3 is now coming about. And they celebrate. The angels respond with celebrating. The wise men, it's interesting. It's almost as if when Christ was born, the star appeared. Because they talk about it like this. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. When the star, they saw his star when it rose, and they came to worship him. So it was almost as if this star, the heavens, the heavenly host, shined a light that said, now's the time. And these guys go all the way back to Daniel in Babylon. That's where they were from. And so there must have been some ancient documents or something that pointed them to this star. We know when the star comes in the sky, we have to set out and look for this child. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him, and they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These guys responded with packing up all their treasures and going on a journey, a long journey. This wasn't a short journey, to worship him. Now, there were people that responded negatively. We talked last week about Herod. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by these wise men, the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem in the vicinity, those who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. And so Herod was threatened by Jesus. How did he respond? Snuff him out. Take him out. It's too much of a threat. So for the powers, and Caesar Augustus didn't even know that Jesus existed, but the whole Roman Empire was turned on its head by this man named Jesus. Because it's the power of God coming to earth. But as we look at Luke and Matthew, they tell us about the physical story. If we flash forward to John's story, John is giving a revelation that's being revealed to him, and we see that there's another response going on in the cosmos, a great cosmic battle. Just close your eyes or just tune into this and see this almost laser light show, this huge picture of what's going on from the beginning of time to the end of time. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and the crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain. She was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, and so that he might devour the child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, a place prepared for her by God. We have this large response of Satan here. He responded with wanting to snuff out this child, wanting to destroy all God's creation, wanting sin to take its course and continue to eat at us and take this dark world even darker, to destroy you, to destroy this earth, to destroy us, to destroy God's plan. But God is there protecting. God is there giving us a Messiah. God is there fighting this battle. The angels, the same angels in this physical story, were there fighting in a cosmic battle. Jesus is the one in whom heaven and earth meet, fully human, fully divine. And it all matters so that things can be made right between us and God. He did this for us. He did this for you. And Jesus changed everything. Everyone in this story was compelled to respond. Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, angels, Herod, the wise men, Simeon responded like this. He says, I have seen salvation. He had waited all his life. I have seen salvation when he held that baby and they named him Jesus on the 8th day. Anna responded with, we were desperately waiting to be rescued, and now he has come. They all responded to Jesus. And if we could wipe away all the Christmas hoopla that we have around us and just get down to the fact, how will you respond to Jesus this season? He requires a response, because he's come for you to rescue you, to save you, to save us, to save the whole world. How will you respond this season to Jesus? Let me pray for us as Brandon comes up and leads us in a time of sharing. Jesus, the way in which you came is glorious. You came at just the right time and just the right way, with just the right humility and just the right power. Everything about you has changed the course of history, and so we have to come before you and decide how we respond to you. So, Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts, that you would compel us like the angels, like the magi, like the shepherds, like Mary and Joseph, who choose to worship. We choose to draw close. We choose to allow you to save us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.